Al-Bayan Radio presents The Etiquettes of a Believer, presented by Naseem Abidi.
Bismillah alhamdulillah wa salatu salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Amma ba'd, we continue in the 15th etiquette of the day of Friday is to leave off work and trade. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha nudiya lis-salati min yawm al-jum'ati fas'u ila dhikrillahi wa dharu al-bay'a. Dhalikum khayrun lakum in kuntum ta'lamun. فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون. Are you who believe when the call is proclaimed for the salah on Friday, so when the adhan is made or when it's time for the prayer, then come to the remembrance of Allah, meaning the salat, the Jumu'ah and the khutbah, and leave off business. Leave off business. That is better for you if you did but know. Then when the Jumu'ah is finished, then disperse in the land and you go and seek the bounties of Allah and remember Allah much that you may be successful. So Allah Azza wa Jal clearly made that at the time of Jumu'ah, it is haram for a person to work. Not only is it haram for a person to work, it's haram for a person who it's an obligation upon to attend Jumu'ah to do anything at all except come to the salah. And anything he does at the time of Jumu'ah is considered batil. Is considered not only haram, it's considered null and void. So let's say a person worked at the time of Jumu'ah. Let's say he done a job, he went and he's an electrician, he went and done a job, he installed some lights at a person's house and he didn't get a Jumu'ah. And he made $300-$400 from that job. That money that he earned at that time instead of going Jumu'ah is haram. And haram wealth, what do you need to do with? You need to get rid of it. So he needs to give that $300 in sadaqah. Same thing if a person done a transaction, a business transaction. Let's say you went and you bought a phone at the time of Jumu'ah. You didn't get a Jumu'ah, you went and bought a phone. That phone is haram for you to have. You're meant to, in under Sharia, give that phone back and get your money back. That's how it's meant to happen, because it's as if you didn't take control of that phone or didn't take ownership of that phone because you done it at a time where it was haram for you to do trade. So if a person is at the time of Jumu'ah and he knows that he has to go to Jumu'ah, ensure to leave off absolutely everything to attend. Not as many people do, only attend the salah. No, attend the khutbah itself. A lot of people, they work or they do business or they trade and they say they're going to play roughly mathalan at 12:45 or at 1 p.m. so I'll come exactly at that time. That you intentionally missing the khutbah is haram also. You intentionally missing the khutbah is haram. And so the money that you earn at that time or the trade that you done at that time also is considered haram and null and void. So if there was any financial gain from that, then a person needs to leave off. A person needs to ensure that he works around Jumu'ah, or if he's going to get a job, a new job, that he informs his boss before he starts that, look, on Fridays, I need to take off this time. Is there going to be an issue? How can I work around it? Mathalan, you get paid less that day, or you get to work 1 hour early or 1 hour late, whatever it is. But it is haram for a person to work a job if he knows that there's going to be no way he's going to pray Salatul Jumu'ah. It becomes haram for that person. And Allah Azza wa Jal is Ar-Razzaq. Allah is the one who gives sustenance. So a person shouldn't think, then how's the person going to get his sustenance, etc.? All of this in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. A person doesn't disobey the one who gives sustenance for the sake of sustenance. This is illogical and without rationale in any person's way of thinking. Number 16 and 17, to follow the etiquettes of walking and entering to the masjid, and we spoke about this previously. Number 18, to not step over the necks and shoulders of the attendees. And you see this a lot. And there's two parts to this. One, when you come into the masjid, ensure to fill up the spaces nice and early. If you come early to the masjid, don't sit one over there and sit one over here and sit one over there just for your comfort. The masjid is going to get full. What's best is that you come aslan, as we'll see, come close to the imam and the front rows so that you get the most ajr. And you get the closeness to the imam, which in turn leads to that closeness of Jannah, inshaAllah. So the first problem is when people come and they sit separated. Then you have the second problem when people come in, that they come and they have to, they have no choice now, except to step over the shoulders and the necks of people to fill up those spaces. If they come in to the masjid or to the musalla, and there are spaces that haven't been filled, it's their right to jump over if they need to, yani to the best of their ability without causing problems, but to jump over the shoulders and the necks of others in order to fill up those spaces, because the people before them didn't, and there's a space free. What we're talking about when we say don't jump over the necks and the shoulders of others is when aslan there's no space, or it's a very tight spot, but the person says, "La, I want to sit next to the imam." And so he jumps and he moves people out of the way, and he causes discomfort and annoyance to others, and then he wants to sit. This is when it's a problem. As for us, what do? Fill up the spaces nice and early. Secondly, don't leave any spaces, because if there are spaces, that justifies the person coming and jumping over the necks or walking over the necks and the shoulders of men to reach that spot. Regarding this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day was giving the khutbah, and he seen a man yatakhatta an-nas. He was coming and he was going over the people. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Ijlis faqad adait wa anait." Sit down, because you have harmed others, you have annoyed others, and you have come late. And the reason you have to jump over everyone is because you came late, and you're the reason, and that doesn't justify you annoying others. But as we said, if there are spaces that the people themselves didn't fill up, then that's allowed for the people to go through the lines to reach that part. And that's reported by Ibn Majah and others. Number 19, which is similar to the one before, is to not separate between two people that are sitting next to each other. If there's two people and they're sitting next to each other, it is not from the adab, it's not from the etiquette of the believer that he walks in and moves apart those two people and sits there because he likes that spot or whatever it is. When we spoke about the hadith of the virtue, for every step that he takes, he gets 1 year worth of reward of fasting and 1 year's worth of reward of praying. And we mentioned all the conditions for that. One of them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَلَمْ يُفَرِّقْ بَيْنَ اثْنَيْنِ. He doesn't separate between two people. Again, and when we think about the etiquette of Islam, a lot of it is common sense. A lot of it is being a good human being. If only we were to follow it, we would have no issues. We would have no issues. But unfortunately, we have to be taught, and it becomes a ibadah, where you get hasanat for doing it, and you could get sayyat for not following the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If a person comes, there's two people sitting next to each other, obviously you don't get seen between them. But some people, subhanAllah, they have this issue where anything that's annoying, they love to do. Anything that's going to cause problems, they love to do. This is incorrect. Two people sitting next to each other, don't go and sit in between them. Now this space, for example, here is very tight. Don't go try and sit in between them. Here, this space, possibly you can fit someone in there. Okay, there's no problem, because it's not tight. But between Mathal and the two brothers there with a bottle of water, and alhamdulillah, the bottle of water fits. Some people, I see them when I'm on the minbar, they come and they push this guy over, and they push this guy over, and they tap them, and they want to sit there. Why? Find another spot. Wherever you can sit. There's no need to annoy others, because especially you coming late. So don't separate between two people. Number 20, to not remove a person from their seat in order for you to sit there. Usually, why would a person feel that they have more right over a spot than others? Why would they feel they have the right? Because of need? If a person does it because of need, this is no issue, inshallah. Let's say an old man comes and he's got back problems and then aren't enough chairs. So maybe they ask one of the younger brothers that are sitting on the chairs to move. If that younger person doesn't need it, then out of respect is that he moves and lets the older man sit there that needs the chair. The other one, someone said, pride. The other one is pride. A person walks in and he sees, for example, a little kid sitting in the spot that he always sits in. So he tells him, move, go sit somewhere else. This is not allowed. What makes you better than that person? Who gave you the authority to move someone that he sat there first, or he was there early that day, or you were late for whatever reason, and he came and sat? What gave you the Islamic right to be moved? This is incorrect. Islam, as we said, is full of adab.
It's full of etiquette and full of bettering the dealings between people. How many younger children ended up hating the masjid because they were always treated badly? He sits there, move, don't sit here, this is for the older men. Why is it for the older men? If it's a chair and someone needs it, no problem. But if it's because that old man usually sits there, then this is not proper. In the etiquette of the musalla or the masjid in general, we said part of the etiquette is that you don't make one spot only for yourself. You never pray except in that spot. That's not part of the etiquette of a masjid. This is now worse, because now you're affecting someone else by belittling them and forcing them to move when you have no right to that spot. Even if they're young, the famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was drinking, and then there was the younger boy and the older man, and the younger boy was on the right of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah is that you pass it to the right. If you drink, then you pass it to the right. But then there's the old man. So what do? A lot of people just give it to the old man straight away. The sunnah is the right. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked permission from the younger boy if he could give it to the old man. He asked permission, didn't force him. He asked permission and the young boy refused. He refused. Why? Because he wanted to be the one who drinks right after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he wasn't made, that young man or the young boy, to feel that, wallah, you done bad and how dare you and who are you and this is an old man. No, this is his right by Allah Azza wa Jal. So we are not ones to take away that right. So when a person, he came and he's in a spot, he's allowed to have that spot, and no one should move him unless there's a need. As we said, an old man who needs a chair, etc. And that's based on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, لَيُقِيمَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَخَاهُ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ ثُمَّ لِيُخَالِفْ إِلَى مَقَعَدِهِ فَيَقْعُدَ فِيهِ وَلَكِنْ يَقُولُ افْسَحُوا. What he's allowed to do, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, none of you should make his brother stand up on the day of Friday so that he can take his spot. But what he should say is, make space. Ifsahu. Yani, you came in and there's a little bit of space, but not enough. You can say, brother, please, yani, move over. Or can you please move over? Or can the brothers please make space? That's not issue. Because you're asking with adab, and the person's moving from themselves. But to forcefully get a person to move, and for you to sit, this is not allowed, no matter who the person is. Unless there's a shara'i reason, as we mentioned. Like the old man, or for example, in the salah, right behind the imam, you can put people who are more knowledgeable. That's not an issue because there's an Islamic justification there. But the general rule is that it is not allowed. Number 21, to pray two raka'at when you walk in, even if the imam is giving the khutbah. And again, these are mistakes that we say happen a lot. When I'm giving the khutbah, it's unfortunately the minority of people who know when you come in to pray two raka'at tahiyyat al-masjid. A lot of people, they come in and they sit down straight away, and they just listen to the khutbah. This goes directly against the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, or where Jabir radhiyallahu anhu narrates, دخل رجل يوم الجمعة والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب فقال أصليت قال لا قال فصلي ركعتين. A man came in while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving khutbah, and that man sat down. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Have you prayed?" And he said, "No." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then get up and pray two raka'at. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly spoke to that person and told him to get up and to pray. And this again shows that even if the khutbah has started, then get up and pray two raka'at. Even if you walked in and forgot to pray. So sometimes the person, maybe they walk in and they accidentally sit down. If you remember, then get up and pray. Some people, I see them, they wait until the khatib sits down for the jalsa, and then when he sits down, they get up and they pray. They need to wait until the jalsa of the khatib or anything. As soon as you remember, you stand up and you pray. As long as it's a masjid. As long as it's a masjid. Now, if a place, for example, they pray in a community hall, there's no tahiyyat al-community hall. Now, it's tahiyyat al-masjid. So if it's a masjid, that's when you pray. Also from Jabir radiallahu anhu, that he mentioned specifically the person who walked in, and his name was Sulaik. So this Sulaik, he came, but there's a benefit in this particular narration. He's the one who walked in and sat down when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given the khutbah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, "Ya Sulayk, kum farka rak'atayn wa tajawwaz feehima." This word tajawwaz is very important. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Get up, O Sulayk, and pray two rak'at and hasten in them, and be quick in them." And this is the important part. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam expanded, إذا جاء أحدكم يوم الجمعة والإمام يخطب فليركع ركعتين وليتجوز فيهما. If any of you come on the day of Friday and the Imam is giving the khutbah, let him pray two rak'at before he sits and let him hasten in them. So a person when he comes to Salat al-Jumu'ah, he shouldn't come and pray two rak'at because he heard the hadith and take long in them. La. He comes and prays quick. For example, he reads al-Fatiha quickly, maybe he reads short surah after that. He doesn't make dua in his sujood, etc. He just prays two rak'at quickly out of respect for the masjid. And then he sits down and listens to the imam. He doesn't take long in those two rak'at. And also in that hadith is evidence that in da'wah, you can particularly speak to one person and point that person out if you feel that it's not going to affect that person negatively. So like, for example, I said to our beloved brother Sleepy, I said, yani, if you're someone else, you're not allowed. Yani, if I felt that he's going to get embarrassed and he's never going to come back, I shouldn't. I shouldn't give him advice openly. But if a person, yani, inshallah, you feel that he can handle it, then there's no problem, inshallah. So yani, for Khalid, I wouldn't give him advice openly. So he doesn't haram, sure that he can't come back. Number 22, not to sit in the position of al-ihtiba. Al-ihtiba is when you raise your knees, like what he's doing over there. To raise your knees. No, you can do it. Not in Jumu'ah. You can do it now, no problem. Okay, to raise your knees and to either hold it with your thawb over your knees. Anyone wearing a loose shirt? Pull your, don't we wreck it a little bit, stretchy one. Yeah, like that. And then they lean back on it. Okay. Or to put your arms around and hold yourself up by lifting your knees and holding your hands around your knees. That shouldn't be done in Jumu'ah. That shouldn't be done in Jumu'ah because this particular way helps you sleep. Helps you get tired. Now, because you're not holding yourself up and forcing yourself to pay attention. You're in a very relaxed position. And so it becomes very easy for you to fall asleep. This is also common with certain people if they sit, for example, on a wall. If you know that you're going to sit on a wall and it's going to make you more tired and more sleepy, and when you're listening to the khutbah, yani most of the time you fall asleep, then don't sit on a wall. Force yourself to sit upright, force yourself to pay attention, etc. Because I've seen a lot of people, they fall asleep, and then they wake up, and then they just, when they're given the iqamah, and they just pray. And they don't know, did I lose my wudu, did I not lose my wudu, etc. For the ones that sit on a chair, it's not as bad, because if they fall asleep, then according to the opinion of the fuqaha, that as long as you're in a position where it's very hard for you to lose your wudu, then you're called mutamakkin, then you don't have to repeat your wudu. But if you're in that position like that, it's easy for you to lose your wudu and you didn't know. So if you've done that and you got up, your wudu is broken. So you need to go and remake your wudu. And most of the people that fall asleep, wake up, pray and continue with their day. Unfortunately. And that's from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَنَّهُ نَهَى عَنِ الْحَبْوَ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ وَالْإِمَامُ يَخْطُبُ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade us sitting in the ihtiba position on the day of Friday when the imam is giving the khutbah. Other than that, it's not an issue. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also sat like that. Number 23, to busy yourself with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you arrive. If you come to the masjid, okay, you gave salam to some of the brothers, no issue. But don't make all of your time until the khatib comes, talking and laughing and joking or sitting on your phone, Facebook, Instagram, whatever it is. Use that time for the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. When you come in, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, pray as much as you want. So a person came in, prays surah Qatik and pray as much as you want. Two, he just keeps on praying until the imam comes. He's allowed to do that. And this is good, and it's from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or come in and read Quran, or do dhikr, or make dua. Do anything that brings about the remembrance of Allah azza wa jal. But it's a shame, a lot of the brothers, they come and they use it as a time for talking and laughing and joking and going and catching up on their social media. Do this after, do this before, do this in the morning, do this at home, do any other time. This is your time, you come into the masjid, especially for Jumu'ah. Use it as a time to gain those hasanat, because most of us, we don't have the opportunity like when we come early to a masjid in any other time. If you're at home, you're busy with your wife, with your kids. If you're at work, obviously you're busy with the matters of the dunya. When you come early to the masjid, take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. See and do the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then when you leave, then you catch up on your affairs with the brothers and your dunya, etc. But when you come early to the masjid, try use it for the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And I'll give you a tip for those who say, wallah, I try, but always someone comes, talks to me. Grab a mushaf. Grab a mushaf. If you read Quran on your phone, people aren't necessarily going to know that you're doing dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. They're just thinking that you're sending a message or you're on Facebook or whatever it is. So they'll be like, I'll come talk to him, no problem. But if they see you holding a mushaf, sometimes they'll give you salam and that's it, if you're lucky. There are some people, Allah al-Musta'an, whether you're holding 10 masahif, they don't get it. Now, those people, you can't do anything, alhamdulillah. But if you hold the mushaf, most people understand you want to do the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Number 24 from the etiquettes of the day of Friday is to sit close to the imam. Is to sit close to the imam. This is from the neglected etiquettes of the day of Friday. Most people, even the ones that come early, they sit the furthest. Allahu alam why. Some of them come early so they get a good spot next to the exit. Especially some of the oldies, they come and they put their chair next to the door so they pray and then they can leave early. It's incorrect. The sunnah is that when a person comes, he sits as close as possible to the imam. And this is from the saying of the Prophet ﷺ in a hadith. Some of the scholars said there's weakness in it, but others said it's acceptable. And reported by Abu Dawood, where the Prophet ﷺ said, "Uḥḍur al-dhikra wadnu min al-imam, fa'inna al-rajul la yizalu yatabāʿadu hatta yuakhir fi al-jannah wa inda khalaha." That the Prophet ﷺ said, "Attend the dhikr, which here means the Friday khutbah, and sit near the imam, for a man keeps himself away, from the imam, until he will be left behind at the end of the gathering for those who enter paradise, even though he enters it." So even though he's not doing haram, he's still going to Jannah. But when the people are gathering and entering, he's towards the back. Al-jaza' min jins al-amal. The recompense is in accordance to the action. Just like in this dunya, when it came to the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, you wanted to sit far away. Then similarly, when you get rewarded for that good deed, you'll be in the rows which are at the back. Because that's what you were happy with in this dunya. As for the ones, they're always trying their best to be at the forefront of the matters. The first row, close to the imam, etc. Then these people, inshallah, part of their reward is that they're at the forefront of those who enter the paradise. And this is very important, brothers, because we said and we always say, Jumu'ah is there for you to benefit. Jumu'ah is there for you to be reminded. Most people, unfortunately, come to Jumu'ah simply to fulfill the obligation and go home. If we as Muslims, as the Ummah, came to Jumu'ah and actually listened and took one benefit every Jumu'ah, imagine how much different our state as an Ummah would be. Just one benefit, that's it. One every Jumu'ah. 52 khutab in the year. Take one benefit each time. One have good akhlaq, one pray on time, one give sadaqah, one don't steal, one be good to your parents, one give your wife her rights, one raise your children properly. Just one benefit every week. Imagine how much better we would be. But again, unfortunately, most people, they're coming to Jumu'ah, they sit, they listen, fulfill the obligation, wassalam. They're gone. And there's no benefit. And a lot of that is in the attitude that we give the khutbah. Let's just take here this message, for example. When you have people that come early, a lot of the time, downstairs is more full than upstairs. The person who's coming early and sitting downstairs, generally speaking, what's his mentality? That he's coming to benefit from the Jumu'ah? He's coming, sit, finish, yalla, Allah ma'ak. The Shaykh can't see him downstairs. Some of the stories I hear from downstairs are ajaib. people on their phones, that's normal. But people smoking outside, some people talking outside, and then they come and then they come. Yeah, this is, it's the mentality is wrong. The mentality is not a person is coming to benefit, but the one who's coming and standing and sitting close to the imam, generally speaking, that mentality is, at least I want to benefit. I want to benefit. Allahu A'lam. So to sit close to the imam. If next to the imam is full, yani close to the imam is full, at least sit in the front row, so that you get the hasanat of the salah. Number 25, to not speak and to listen attentively. Also in the hadith which we mentioned previously about the virtues of Jumu'ah and the great reward and the conditions, from amongst them were وَاسْتَمْعَ وَأَنْصَتَ وَلَمْ يَلْغُوا, for a person to listen and to pay attention and to not speak anything of idle talk. وَلَمْ يَلْغُوا, to not speak anything of idle talk. So a person comes, he's not meant to talk. He's meant to pay attention. He's meant to listen. وَلَمْ يَلْغُوا, he doesn't speak idle talk. Idle talk, some person might think that, wallah, it's about talking about business or talking about something haram or talking about games. La. Even the Prophet said to the meaning, إِذَا قُلْتَ لِأَخِيكَ أَنْسِتْ أَوْ أُصْمُتْ فَقَدْ لَغَوْتْ. If you say to your, or come and call Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you say to your brother, be quiet on the day of Friday, then you have لَغَوْتْ, then you have spoken idly. Other people are talking, leave them. Let them talk, no problem. Even a lot of the ulama said, if a person walks in and he says, assalamu alaikum, for you not to even reply to the salam. If a person walks in and says, assalamu alaikum, for you not to even reply to the salam. Because this is not a time where we talk. This is a time when we simply listen. If a person puts his hand out, then shake his hand and then explain to him after what he should do and what he shouldn't do. Don't leave him hanging. And that's the fatwa from Ibn Baz, rahimahullah. But don't reply to his speech. So even if people are talking, then tell them to be quiet. Just your job to sit and to listen and to benefit from the khutbah. To number 26, and this is a neglected one. To move if you feel sleepy. If a person feels tired or he's on the nod or he feels that he's about to fall asleep, or mashallah, the khatib had nutrigrain that morning and he's going yani, as long as he can, then you feel wallah, you can't take it, then for you to get up and move. For you to get up and move from where you're sitting. And that's based on the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he said, إِذَا نَعَسَ أَحَدُكُمْ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ فَلْيَتَحَوَّلْ مِنْ مَدْرِسِهِ ذَلِكَ. If, when one of you becomes sleepy during the Friday prayer, then let him move from where he is sitting. So you're feeling tired here, to get up and to move. And this is not part of the idle talk or the idle movement. Because this is done for the betterment of the salah. The betterment of yourself in the salah. Just like if you're praying and you find that you have najasa on you, you remove that najasa, there's no problem. Like when the Prophet ﷺ took off his sandals as he was praying. Because that's for the betterment of the salah. This, when you're moving, is for the betterment of your jumu'ah. So to get up and to move to another spot. And if a lot of people do that, yani Allahu Alam, the khatib will get the point. So to move if you become tired. The second last is the sunnah after Jumu'ah. So Jumu'ah doesn't have a sunnah prayer before it. There's no sunnah prayer before Jumu'ah. There's only tahiyyat al-masjid. It's not dhuhr. Okay, some people, they say they pray mathalan 4 rak'at, like the sunnah of dhuhr. This is incorrect. Jumu'ah is not dhuhr. When you walk into the masjid, pray tahiyyat al-masjid and that's it. Pray as much as you want. But you don't specify 4 as some people do in a lot of the masajid. Same with after Jumu'ah. It's not dhuhr. So the sunnah is not the same. There's 2 ahadith. One that says that the Prophet ﷺ at home prayed 2. Another one where the Prophet ﷺ told the people that if you pray after Jumu'ah to pray 4. A lot of the ulama, how did they put the 2 ahadith together? They said, if you pray in the masjid, pray 4 rak'at. If you pray in the masjid, pray 4 rak'at. And if you pray at home, then pray 2 rak'at. If you pray at home, pray 2 rak'at, sunnah, after Jumu'ah. And if you pray in the masjid, then pray 4 rak'at. You can pray two and then two after that. This is a common question. And the final etiquette is to look for the hour or the time in which the dua is answered by Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet ﷺ, speaking about the day of Friday, said, فِي سَاعَةٌ لَا يُوَفِقُهَا مُسْلِمٌ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي يَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى شَيْئًا إِلَّا أَعْطَاهُ إِيَّاهُ. In it is a time, in the time of Friday, a believer does not make dua in it except for anything except that Allah will give it to him. Here, there's something in the hadith which says, وَهُوَ يُصَلِّي, whilst he is praying. So a believer doesn't ask anything from Allah at that time whilst he is praying, except that Allah will give it to him. You have other ahadith which specify that this time is after Asr. That this time is after Asr. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, regarding this hour, فَالْتَمِسُوهَا آخِرَ سَاعَةٍ بَعْدَ الْعَصْرِ. Look for this hour, or try and work hard in this hour, and that is the last hour after Asr. So after the Asr time, this is when this dua is answered. So after Asr is a makruh time to pray. Here the Prophet ﷺ said, when a person is he makes dua to Allah whilst he's praying. Contradiction or not contradiction? What do you mean you're not praying? The Prophet ﷺ said, when you make dua while you're praying. The question is, how do we put the two ahadith together? So this is عند التعارض بين الأحاديث. When the two ahadith apparently go against each other, there's a list of ways to put them together. There's a list of ways to go about them. The number one is الجمع بين الحديثين, to put the two ahadith together so that it both works. Another way is, if we can't put the two hadith together, you look for which one is more authentic. If one is authentic and one is weak, obviously you get rid of the weak one and you only go with the authentic one. There might be other ways where one's exception and one is one general rule, one specific, etc. Here, but there's the first one, which is to put the two together. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about waiting for the salah? The slave is in the salah as long as he is waiting for the salah. So when you're waiting for Maghrib, this is the last hour. So you've come early. When you come and you're waiting for the salah, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Huwa fi salah." He is in prayer as long as you are waiting for the salah. So when it comes to the day of Jumu'ah, either a person doesn't leave the whole day, which is no problem, or at least come, pray Asr in the masjid and try and stay in the masjid until Maghrib. Try and stay in the masjid until Maghrib and make dua. And make dua. Even if, the closer to Maghrib, the more chance that it's in that time. Naam. So even if a person, he couldn't come from Asr and stay until Maghrib, مثلاً an hour or two before Maghrib, come to the salah. Come to the salah. And with the intention of praying Maghrib. So it's like you're waiting for the salah. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, that you are in the prayer at that time. And this is how, inshallah, a person can get his dua. Now, so alhamdulillah, that was the final etiquette, brothers. I'll just quickly go over them again. Number 15, to leave off work and trade. And as we said, if anyone does that at that time, it's haram money and the trade is not correct. 16 and 17, to follow the etiquette of walking and entering the masjid, which we spoke about previously. 18, to not step over the necks and the shoulders of the attendees with no reason. Number 19, to not separate between two people sitting next to each other. 20, to not remove a person from their seat in order for you to sit there. 21, to pray two rak'at when you walk in, even if the imam is given the khutbah, and to obviously pray them quickly. 22, to not sit in the ihtiba' position, which we described. 23, when you get there, to busy yourself with the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. 24, to sit close to the Imam. 25, to not speak and to listen attentively. Even that means not replying back if someone gives salam. Number 26, to move from your spot if you feel tired and sleepy. Number 28, to pray in the masjid, yani after Jumu'ah, 4 rak'at, or if you're going to pray sunnah at home, to pray 2 rak'at. And 29, to look for the hour in which the dua is accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal. And we said the way to put the ahadith together is to pray, is to come to the masjid and wait for Salat al-Maghrib and to make dua at that time because of the hadith, and he is praying. And if a person waits for the prayer, the Prophet said, it is like he is in prayer. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله محمد وعلى آل محمد وصحبه أجمعين.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.